telling Brother Cook before the service started there, you know, we kind of got to trying to remember from being in the choir which road to turn on and which, you know, which tree to look for or what not to come find it here, but we made it and went down a couple wrong roads, but had to make a few turnarounds, but we made it. And it is so good to be here, see some familiar faces, and some of you I don't may not know as well, but I hope to get to know you throughout the day. And so it is just so good to be here, and thank you for allowing us to come, and trust that your pastor won't work too hard, and I'll try not to, you know, preach that hour like he said he would have to preach this morning, so you can relax. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, I want to talk to you this morning about running the race of life. Running the race of life. Hebrews chapter 12, if you will and able, invite you to stand in honor of God's word. We're just reading a couple verses here of Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1, it reads like this: "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Brother Black, would you ask the blessing?
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before thee today. We ask that you would bless this message. We ask for thy divine power and help. Lord, our faith is in you. We're trusting for thy
help. Amen. You may be seated. For illustrative purposes this morning, if I could allow me to use this illustration, just a few miles from here, if we was to take a little road trip to Kentucky, there is one of the most famous horse racetracks in the world. If we was to go into there and to see the architecture that it is known for, with the beautiful spirals, towers there in the background, and look over upon that racetrack, there has been many victories won there. But there's also been many defeats as well. But if we could just go in there and just to sit down in those stands and look across there and imagine in our minds what it would be like when they're bringing those horses there into those starting gates, and the crowd is anticipating. They are excited, and they're hoping that their horse wins. And as they load them in that starting gate, an announcer would come over the loudspeaker, and they're off. And those horses begin to run and thunder down that track, and all with the intention of winning that race. You know, the way I understand it is those jockeys have to know exactly what the strengths and the weaknesses are of those horses that are running around them, so they know the best possible plan to win that race. But the thing about that race is there's only one winner. If we were to go into the Olympic stadiums that have been over the past years, and we were to go into there, into the sea, you know, those runners, they're lined up there, their feet are set, and their hands are down upon that ground waiting for the sound for them to begin their race. The crowds are cheering. They're wanting their country to win. They're wanting their runner that is representing their country to win. But yet there's still only one winner. But I'm not talking about a horse race or an Olympic race this morning. What I want us to consider this race of life, where we all can be winners. That's the unique thing about this race. It doesn't matter what race or what nationality you are from, but you can be a winner. It doesn't matter when you started. It doesn't matter, you know, if you've been running the race of life for 50 years or for 5 months. We can all be winners. And we all are going for the same prize. And that is to be forever with Jesus. But running the race of life, there's three things I'd like for us to consider this morning. And to about this race of life, we want to consider the saints, and consider self, and consider the Savior. First of all, we can consider the saints. The Scripture tells us we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What we can know by that is that these saints, those who have finished their race, they have already received their reward. Just this week, and attending the funeral of my aunt, who is my dad's sister, who had passed away, but she left the testimony behind that she was ready. She had also shown to us that God is faithful unto the end. He is reliable, that we can bank on His promises, we can stand on His word, and knowing that He won't just leave us halfway through this race, He's not going to leave us alone, but He will help us to make it unto the end. I heard this story back a few months ago about a man who has been sent home basically to die, and he was on oxygen, but how he was sitting there and his family was around him, and he was, all of a sudden just sat up in the bed. Nobody helped him. He wasn't able to do that. Began to look up into the ceiling, and then he said, the way I'm told is that, oh, it's so beautiful, and they're beckoning me to come. He laid back down, reached up and took that oxygen mask off and laid it over to the side and says, I won't be needing this anymore. And he passed away, went to be with Jesus. See, those saints have run their race. Those that have run their race, they've received their reward, and they have revealed unto us that God is reliable. And notice, I've heard of many stories from my father, of those who were on their deathbed, and how they would just say, just kind of like that man said, they would actually see into the heavens, and they would see though that was there, and they would tell us then that this is real, that this is, God is reliable, that we can make it, and He is faithful unto the end. In a world and day we live in, that is encouraging for us who are running this race, that if we have come to Jesus and we are walking with Him day by day, we can know that He will be faithful until the end. And I'm thankful for that this morning. But we can consider the saints and all the many things grander about them, but it causes us to bring it into ourselves and to consider ourselves in our own race. We can't win this race because mom and dad make it, or grandpa and grandma. Though we would like to run the race for a few folks, but we can't. We have to run the race individually. And we consider ourselves. First of all, when we consider ourselves, we must make sure we have the proper preparations made. We must lay aside all weights, the Scripture tells us. You may say, well, what is that? It could be those things that can come into our lives and to detract our focus off of God upon things of this world. It causes us then to seek entertainment instead of fellowshipping and communing with God. It could cause us to seek possessions and the materialistic things of this world instead of seeking God. Giving our attentions to music and materialistic things and all that do not focus upon God. Although we understand we have to have some materialistic things to get by. That's not what I'm meaning. But if that is our focus, if it is taking our focus off of God, lay aside all weights. Seems like in the day and age we live in, doesn't it, that there's a lot of things grabbing for our attention. My parents, when they grew up, didn't have to deal with some of the stuff that I had to deal with growing up. The things that, in the young people of today, there's so much things grabbing for the attention that would take their focus off of God. But the Scripture says we must lay aside all ways. If we seek God with all of our heart, we will be happy. I found it to be so. If we, the Scripture tells us, if we draw nigh to God, what? He gonna leave us alone? No, He's going to draw nigh to us. And we can have that close and personal relationship with God. We must lay aside all the weights. Sometimes it's easy to get caught up in doing the day-to-day things, isn't it? You got to go to work. You got to make money. You got to pay the bills. You got to do this. And sometimes if we aren't careful, though we're out of necessity, those things will begin to take our focus off of what we need to be focused upon. And God will help us to lay aside all the weights. Lay aside anything that would detract our focus, to detract us and turn us away from God, that we would be totally focused upon Him. Lay aside all weight. We must lay aside all sin. If we are going to enter this race toward heaven, there cannot be any sin in our hearts. In anything that would anything that is of the devil, we cannot have lay aside all the sin. We must come to Jesus and repent and have that assurance of salvation in our hearts. To lay aside all the sin and run with patience, the Scripture tells us. We must run with patience. Patience isn't a very, at least back home, it doesn't seem like very many people have very much patience, especially driving. Even got somebody tooted at me this morning. I don't know what I did, but you know, I must have done something right for them. You know, you're in traffic and they're wanting to get to where they're going, and the horns are beeping, and hopefully nobody's yelling out the windows, but they're just lack of patience. But this tells us here that we must run with patience. Teaches us that the Christian runner has endurance. You know, those runners in the Olympics and all those foot races and all of that, you know, they only have to run for so long and then they're done. They can refresh themselves and, you know, and take a nap or take, you know, get some rest. But for the Christian, this race that we are in, it is a day-to-day race, every day after day, month after month. It's consistent. You may say, oh, that sounds like it's going to wear me out. No. Because there's different times, like we come to church on Sunday where we can get refilled, we can get refreshed along the way on our race. Come on Wednesday night and come in and hear the testimony of the saints and hear those around us. Oh, we can be refreshed and rejuvenated and go back out into our lives that we have to do from day to day and be refreshed and know that we can win this race. But we can. We must, like it said, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, we must be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that the good thing is we can run this race with patience, and God will help us along the way. But notice the wording here. It says that we must run with patience the race that is set before us. This is, I think, is very critical right here, because this is telling me that we each have our own race to run. Kind of mentioned it already that, you know, mom and dad can't run the race for us, or we can't run the race for someone else, but we each have our own race to run. And I may not run my race the same way you run yours. God may not, He has a special plan for each way for us to run our race, doesn't He? But we have this race that we have to run on our own, It's this challenge us to remember some things. That we each have our own race to run, so we must run in our own lane. You know, some of those runners, when they're running around that track, if they were to cross that white line that is separating those lanes, they can be disqualified. If we're not careful in our own lives and you know, in dealing with other Christians, we must run in our own race. I can't run the race for you. You can't run it for me. I got to run it the way that God wants me to run it. I must stay in my own lane, though I can be concerned for those around me. But yet, it's in the end, it's their own race to run. Another thing is, we're not in competition either. We're not in competition, but we're all on the same team. Isn't that good? We don't have to worry about, oh, you know, we got to do better than them. I've seen it happen and heard of it happen. You know, somebody will get up and testify about how God's helping them, and then on the other side, somebody gets up and tries to outdo their testimony. Maybe you haven't heard of that and heard it, but I've heard of that. It's like we're all trying to get to the same place. We're all serving the same God. We're all running the race for the same prize, and we might as well just join together and help one another along life's way. Because we're not in competition. Because our course has been individually designed for each one of us. It's tailor-made. I got a buddy of mine I went to school with, and his last name's Taylor, and I always would tell him, you know, hey, it's tailor-made. He don't think he thought it was too funny. He just, you know, playing on his last name. But our race for us is tailor-made by God. And we can run and we can win this race. But we also might not just make the proper preparations and run with patience, but we must also guard our priorities. This kind of goes along with being careful of what focusing on God and not on the things of this world. There's a lot of things that would like to come in, but we must guard our priorities in our spiritual lives, in our homes, in our churches around, that as a whole, we must be careful to guard our priorities, for we all are in this race together. Thirdly, I want us to consider the Savior this morning. Consider His race. I don't believe there's anyone that has had to run the race like Jesus. I don't believe I've never heard of anyone else being born in a manger. Living a life and growing up, teaching those in the temple when he was 12 years old, and then dying on an old rugged cross. I never heard of anybody else running a race like that, this race of life. But we can consider his reasons as well. The scripture tells us here, the Bible tells us that Jesus ran for the joy that was set before him. Where is their joy in going to a cross this morning? Where is their joy in dying like a common criminal? Where is their joy in being rejected by your own people? Not being received by them, being rejected by your own people and the people you love. The fact of the matter is this morning that Jesus knew that his joy was not in that time. It was what would happen when he finished his race. For him was the day of the joy of redemption when he knew that the price had been paid for all sin. And that we can then have a relationship and have the hope of heaven to one day be together with him. That was where his joy lied in. For the salvation of all believers. The day when we would be in heaven with him and the redeemed of all the ages. The day when he reclaimed all the glory. The day when there would be the new heavens and the new earth where all the redeemed would be worshiping the Father. The day when the sin was forever destroyed. And the tempter banished forever. That was where his joy was. And we can consider his reward. It says there that Jesus ran well when he finished. The scripture says he sat down at the right hand of the Father. To me, that is very important because when he went to back to the heavens and sat down at the right hand of the Father, he's telling that it is done. That is, the work is completed. And he sat down at the right hand of the Father. But yes, Jesus knew where he was headed. And that may have made it a little easier to run his race, but he still had to run his race and finish his race. And this morning for us as well, we know where we're headed. We know what is at the end of our race. And yes, I know we have trials, we have struggles down here, but all the joy that awaits us when we finish, when we cross the finish line, and we'll forever with God. Think of it this morning. We can also consider the Savior's resolve. Verse 3 tells us that Jesus endured and must finish his race. So that that's much more than you and I can even grasp this morning. But Jesus finished. Being rejected, being alone, and being executed. All that was his joy because he knew we could have that relationship with him then. That the price had been paid, that the veil had been rent in twain, and now you and I would have access into the Holy of Holies whenever we have a problem and whenever we have a care, that we don't have to call, when we call upon God, we don't have to get a busy signal or a loss of signal, but that we can know that we can come to Him whenever we have a problem, whenever we have a care, and He will hear us. If we were to go back to that racetrack, and to sit there and those horses have taken off around that first turn. And they're making their way to the back stretch there. And those jockeys are still trying to jockey for their position. They're trying to get into position to know where they have to be. Whether they need to be on the rail and try to know where the other horses are at. So they know exactly how to finish this race. And they make their way around that final turn and they're all getting ready to head for home. And they make that final turn, and those jockeys see the finish line, and no doubt those horses are feeling it those jockeys, and those jockeys begin to urge their mounts on, and the crowd is yelling and encouraging them on, and wanting their horse to win, and encouraging those jockeys that they can make it, and those jockeys are all there trying hard, encouraging those horses, but only one finishes the race. Only one wins and gets the prize. But I can't help it, I think about this often, is that up in heaven, when it talks about the great cloud of witnesses, is that every now and then maybe some of those saints don't look over the banisters of heaven, and they look down upon us, maybe a grandfather, maybe a mother, a father, a brother, a sister, whoever it may be. And they're looking down over the banisters of heaven and looking at us as we are running our race. And they see maybe sometimes we are getting discouraged, that we don't seem that we can't go on. But then we hear that great cloud of witnesses encouraging us on and saying, "My son, you can make it. You can make it. You can make it. Yes, I have run the race. I have received my reward now. But son, my daughter, you can make it." But I can't help but think, as in the great cloud of witnesses, that there is one that stands above the rest, and he comes to the portals of heaven and looks down, and it's none other than Jesus Christ himself. And he is saying, "My son, you can make it. You can make it. You must finish the race. I paid the price. I died on the cross, yes, and paid the way for you that you can finish the race. And one day you can be with me, finish the race," encouraging us on. It's the Heavenly Father. It's Jesus, the Lamb of God, encouraging us on to win this race. And the songwriter said, "This race that I have entered, I must win. But I like to think of it that I can and I will." We have that resolve in our hearts that we are, come what may, the devil may try to distract us, and he may try to throw things at us to take our focus off of God. But we can have it settled in our hearts and knowing without a shadow of a doubt that we are going to see him one day, and that we are going to cross that line of worlds. We're going to enter through those gates of pearl and walk down the streets of gold with him, because we will have finished the race. We will have crossed the finish line. And I don't know what it will be like when we all get to heaven, when we cross that finish line, but I intend to make it. How about you? I want to make it with everything that's in me. I've got another aunt over there. I got grandparents over there. There's some that I've never seen before, but I want to sit down and talk with them if I could. Because we can finish the race. They finished their race. Now it's up to me. And you know that you have folks in your life that they finished their race. And now it's up to you. And the thing of it is, we all can win this race. And I challenge you this morning, if you're discouraged, look up. For the author and the finisher of our faith is Jesus Christ. And he is saying, "You can make it. You can make it. You can make it." And we all can make it, and we all will be winners when we cross and we are with Jesus. And I challenge you this morning to be encouraged, for we can win this race. Let us stand together. Thank you for your kind attention, and I trust you'll come back tonight encouraged in the Lord, and we'll have a wonderful time tonight in His presence together. Heavenly Father,